In an amazing manner, in the verses of Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds man that you're mounting a conveyance, when you're either driving in your car, riding a bicycle, sailing in a ship, flying in a plane, whatever it is, remember that the conveyance is a gift from Allah. Even if you are on any sort of man-made or natural form of transport, it's both from Allah. And the mustahab, the preferred way to begin your travel with any transport is, as Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had reported, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, begin by saying Bismillah, or the name of Allah, when one is putting the first foot on the animal or in the vehicle. For us, it's difficult in South Africa that our cars are, you know, what we would say, right-hand drive. So because of that, you're going to enter the car with your left foot. America, it's easier, where you can enter naturally with your right foot. And I've seen some of my own teachers who had a unique way of entering the car with the right foot. And that is part of the sunnah, to be able to enter the car. I'm not sure how you'd do that, but it's almost like you've got to first throw yourself onto the seat and then bring your right foot in first. That is the only way. But that is when you have love for the sunnah. That which seems impossible, that which seems negligible, that becomes something that you would strive for. So you begin by putting the right foot on, saying Bismillah. Then after that, one should say Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. And then one should say Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. That pure is that being who subjugated this conveyance for us, and we would not have been able to bring it under our control. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And in the end, when you completing this dua, what do we say? وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. We are returning to our sustainer. So what we are being reminded is that when you embark on any journey in this world, you should remember your journey to the year after. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to recite these words. So while you're going from point A to point B, remember that there is also the journey from this dunya, the journey to the akhirah. Subhanallah, in everything, even the mundane thing like being transported, commuting in a conveyance from point A to point B, then too we have to be reminded about the ultimate journey, that is the journey to the Akhirah. After that, what do you then recite? Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar, wal khalifatu fil ahl, wal mal. Allah, you are my companion in my journey, and my substitute in my family. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika من معثاء السفر وكآبة المنقلب والحور بعد الكور وسوء المنظر في الأهل والمال. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from the suffering of the journey. And I tell you what, even though we're living in the space age, there is always the suffering of the journey that you will have to endure. وكآبة المنقلب, and coming back in a sad situation. Sometimes, you know, and there's so many stories. Parents go overseas, the children are at home. There's just been a story. They stayed with their uncle, with their aunt, an accident. One child passes away, one survives. What a sad situation for the parents to return from that. Definitely. So you're asking Allah that you do not return to a sad situation. وَالْحَوْرِ بَعْدَ الْكَوْرِ. And from a bad state of being after a good one, that you now were in a good one, and that now you are reduced to a bad state of affairs. وَسُوءِ الْمَنْذِرِ فِي الْأَهْلِ وَالْمَالِ. And that I see a bad scenario appearing to me about my family or my belongings. That is a dua. And the du'as of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so comprehensive, so deep, full of so much meaning, and the benefit is for us. One more dua that you read. Allahumma la ilaha illa anta zalamta. Allahumma la ilaha illa anta zalamtu nafsi faghfirli innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. Oh Allah, there is no God but you. I have done wrong to myself, so forgive me. Surely no one forgives the sins but you alone. No one forgives the sins except you. So that is the du'as that we ought to read. And as we said, that it reminds us that we have a greater journey, that this conveyance is with the bounty of Allah, and therefore Allah says, remember the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the kuffar and their injustice. وَجْعَلُوا لَهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ جُزْءًا. The kuffar, what they did was they attributed to Allah offspring from his own servants. Imagine, Allah created these servants and now they are attributing that this is your offspring. So that means his own servants are being attributed to him as though they're part of him. Allah says that is unacceptable. Innal insana la kafur mubin. Surely man is very ungrateful. And what did the kuffar of Makkah do? They would say that Allah has daughters, and they would say that the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the worst for them. If you have to understand this in their context, in the context of the kuffar of Makkah, that they firstly, in that time of Jahiliyyah, they didn't like daughters. And Allah has dealt with that very extensively. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has dealt with that, where he said, outlined the reward for those who look after one or three daughters, two daughters, or even one daughter, that they'll get Jannah. So, they didn't like, they even went to the extent of burying their daughters alive. That was their attitude to girls. And then, what they go and do is, they say, now Allah has daughters, and his daughters are the angels. So that which they didn't like for themselves, they attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that is the height of injustice from the part of the people of Mecca. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمِتَّخَذَ مِمَّا يَخَلُقُ بَنَاتِ وَأَصْفَاقُمُ الْبَنِينَ. What has he kept daughters for himself from his creation and chosen sons for you? That is in a reproaching manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this issue. That fine, firstly, it's unbecoming of Allah to have offspring. Then, after you attribute offspring to Allah, you choose the one that you don't like for yourself and you attribute that to Allah. While your condition is such, وَإِذَا بُشْرَ أَحَدٌ مِمَا ضَرَبَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ. When one of them is given the glad tidings of that which he attributes to Allah. When any of these kuffar of Makkah was such, when they were given the glad tidings that, another daughter is born for you. What would happen? ظَلَّ وَجْهُ مُسْوَدَّ. His face would remain black the entire day. وَهُوَ كَذِيمٌ. And it was as though he was suffocating in his heart. He was biting his lips. He was raging with anger. That was his condition because of being given the tidings that a daughter has been born. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what are the reality, what are the salient qualities of women. أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one who is reared in ornaments, وَفِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينٍ, and who cannot make oneself clear in arguments. But generally, thus we understand from this is that it is permissible for women to be busy with their ornamentation. Girls generally like jewelry, like makeup, and that is part of their disposition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is how they are. They get involved in that, beautifying, adorn themselves all the time. That is what they do the whole day. It's not that it's not allowed, but it shouldn't be the only thing, because if you're only involved in beautifying, adorning yourself, then that is a sign of short-sightedness, because this body eventually will cease to exist. Further, about the reality of women, وَفِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are those, when it comes to debating, they become erratic. And this reflects the reality of most women, not all women. It's not a general statement, or it's a generalization, but not in the sense that, so if there's one person who doesn't qualify, it means it breaks the entire principle. What happens is that when you have an argumentation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of mankind, men and women, he states the reality about mankind, and he says that women are such that when it comes to argumentation, they get very carried away. They say things and then they regret it afterwards. So they're not good with arguments. They get too carried away, and sometimes they bring unnecessary detail, which then results in the whole situation flaring out. That is just a statement of the reality of how women are in terms of when it comes to argumentation. So this is what these people wanted for themselves, but they didn't want the same for Allah, and that was their injustice. وَجْعَلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ الَّذْنَوْ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ إِنَاثًا. They were such that they regarded as females the angels of Allah, who are the servants of Allah. They are the servants. How can they be the daughters of Allah? أَشَهِدُوا خَلْقَهُمْ. Allah puts the question forth. Allah Ta'ala says that, did they witness their creation? Did they see that Allah was, you know, these were the daughters of Allah being created? سَتُكْتَبُ شَهَادَتُهُمْ وَيُسْأَلُونَ. Their testimony shall be recorded and they shall be questioned about this. That they have neither rational nor traditional proofs for their claim, When Allah created the angels, were they witness even to the creation of the angels? No. So the testimony of theirs is being recorded by Allah. When they are present in the court of Allah, they will be questioned in this regard. Why did you say such a thing? Where did you get the proof for this? And that is when they will then be rendered helpless. They will have nothing to say at that time. And they will have to then accept full responsibility of their own actions at that point. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Let not be that we come up with irrational arguments and try to justify it in the most unique manners. May Allah save us all.